Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I am your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. This is a special show. It just got put together. But this guy is a powerhouse. He's a triple threat. He sings, he acts, he has a little swerve in his hips. You might have just recently seen him in Judas and the Black Messiah. He plays Jake Winter. He also is in Euphoria. He plays Chris McKay. You might have seen him in The Hate U Give, Detroit, The New Edition Story. He's all over the place. Algie Smith, he's on the line now. Let's see. Algie,
Joy Keys, what's going on with you?
What's up? What's up?
How you feeling? How you feeling? That introduction, I appreciate that. Come on, you getting me a little too much here.
No, credit is due. You're working hard. You are, like, getting in line with, like, the hardest working man in Hollywood. You know, that's the track you're on right now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm just trying to, you know, keep it going every day. We got a lot to do, so we got a lot to keep going.
Yeah, so you're in Judas. How did you get into that project? How was the audition process for that?
Yeah, so funny enough, this is one of the first times I didn't have to go through an audition process. You know, I got the call from my agents that there was some interest in me for the role from our director Shaka and obviously from Ryan Coogler.
Okay.
Immediately when I heard those names, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm in, of course. I don't even know what it's about yet, but I'm in. So then I started figuring out what the story was and just understanding that this was a huge chance for me to be a part of our history, and it's an education tool for those who don't know. So I immediately jumped at it.
Yeah, I mean, this is iconic, especially at this time in history. Almost feels like the things are repeating. How did you prepare for the role? My understanding is that Chairman Fred Jr., he was on the set. Were you able to speak with him? How much time did you have?
Right. Yeah. Well, to go to the first statement you made, yeah, a lot of things seem like they are reflective of the past, especially in today's society. I think that's why it wasn't so hard to really tap in and prepare for the role. Because we know we see this in our community all the time. You know, we see police brutality. We see our brothers and sisters getting gunned down by the police so much that it's almost become, I hate to say it, but normal for us to see it, and that's a problem. And so I feel like that's why, you know, it wasn't so hard for me to get into the character of Jake. What was hard is that I didn't have any source material to go off of for Jake Winters. I didn't have anything that I knew about him, you know. It was just very kind of blanket, you know. We knew that his spirit and his essence was just amazing, outgoing, and you know, that he was a very sharp person when it came to firearms. But other than that, I had to just kind of just trust my instinct and put myself in the position and say, I am a young black man in America. He was a young black man in America, so I can go off of how that feels.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you learn anything about the Panthers that you didn't know before?
Oh, my goodness. Of course. I don't know. Whew, we're going to be talking on this phone for hours talking about all that.
Okay. Give me the top three things you learned.
Yeah, for sure. I can say one great thing that I learned, you know, growing up, I was taught about the Black Panthers not to in, you know, a really in-depth degree, but I just growing up in the Black community, of course, as you know, you find out. But when I signed on to the film, one thing that they do in society, they tell us how Chairman Fred Hampton died, you know, and when I signed on to the film, I got to learn how he lived and the things that he did and the moves that he made as a man. Versus what the media tries to give us. Another thing that I learned was about the Rainbow Coalition, how in depth that went, and the starting process to that, and just seeing how a 21-year-old black man in Chicago can put himself and his ego aside to say, I know there's a lot of racial things going on, but I'm going to go partner up with who should be my enemy in order to create the biggest change in the world.
It's amazing because how old are you now?
I'm 26.
So what were you doing when you were 21? Were you involved in any movements? You know, were you protecting the community? What were you doing at 21?
You know what? When I was 21, I wasn't doing anything near what they were doing. I can tell you that much right now. And that's what kind of affected me while I was filming, too, because I was like, I don't feel like I'm doing enough. You know, I don't feel like I've done enough. And one thing that I had to keep reminding myself, and my mom helped me realize this as well, like, what I do through my art and through what God has given me is enough. You know, that's my revolutionary act. Everyone can't be, you know, boots on the ground outside all the time like they were, but you have to find where your revolutionary act can be within what you do, you know. And so I quickly had to snap out of that. But just to answer your question, when I was 21, I was trying to, you know, go to the bar, drink, you know, the regular 21 thing they try to distract us with now. But, you know, growing up and seeing, you're never too young. You're never too young. And so I wish I would have, you know, been more on game like I am now. But it's all a learning process.
Now, you were also in The Hate U Give, another heavy film. And do you see, what are the similarities? And did anything shift from The Hate U Give to now with the Black Panther film?
The similarities between the two films, you mean, or just in society?
Yeah, your two characters and the films, and also, you know, how did you shift, like, emotionally, you know, spiritually, what was the shift after doing the two?
Of course. So I can definitely say the two similarities are the obvious ones. The repercussions and the aftermath of police brutality on young Black men. That's one. You know, I think when I look at both the roles, I find the similarities. So, and it kind of blows my mind, because I was having this conversation the other day. When I did, I played in a movie, obviously The Hate U Give. I did a movie called Detroit as well. And in that movie, you know, in Detroit, it's like the young Black man is getting beat down. And The Hate U Give, he gets killed. And Judas and the Black Messiah, young Black man takes a stand for himself. And not saying that was the right thing to do, but that's what he felt in his heart. And so I feel like all three of the roles, you know, all three of those roles, they kind of tie into each other in a weird way. And it wasn't by design, because I'm not trying to just play these roles. They just happen. But I think that's by design of the higher power, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, do you think you're going to get typecast into, you know, this young Black male character and not be able to branch out to anything else? But I don't think so, because, I mean, you're singing. You know, one of your songs was in Detroit, right?
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing as well. You know, that's always been a thing, too. The industry tries to make it seem like you can only do this or typecast, but the beautiful thing about what it is now is the people just love great concerts. So I will never be typecast just because I'm so much bigger than that, but I'm blessed to have been able to play these roles with education, for sure. That's the beauty of it.
In the movie Judas and the Black Messiah, they talk about the respect for the Black women. Do you feel in the movement today that there is respect for Black women? Do you see Black men, and if they're not, how can they get in line with that respect and support, still be in the movement?
Yeah, great question. I feel like there is respect for Black women. I feel like that isn't what is publicized or what is heightened by the media. But there are Black men out there who do highly respect Black women, one being myself, one being all of the men that were on the set of Judas and the Black Messiah. But like I said, though, the media will show us the things that disrespect. And so they will try to make it normal for us to disrespect. But I think there is a healthy amount of us. And I think also in order to do that, we just have to be understanding, listen, respect, you know, treat others how you want to be treated, especially a woman. We have to exalt our women. We have to make sure that they're protected physically, spiritually, mentally, everything. So I think that goes with checking up on our sisters, spending time with them, getting to know them, really protecting them, asking them how they are, how their life's going, their love life, everything, you know, just being there like they're our real sisters.
Yeah, I mean, as a woman, you know, that's, I think, what we want, but also I think as a human, checking in on our brothers and sisters, because right now is a really crazy time. We just had the attack on the Capitol. What do you think the Black Panthers would have done in reaction to what happened at the Capitol?
Well, funny enough, I'm not sure if the Black Panthers would have done anything because that wasn't, you know, that wasn't a fight of justice, or that wasn't an act of anger, of righteous anger, I should say. That wasn't an act of righteous anger. That was an act of foolishness, in my opinion. So I'm not sure if the Black Panthers would have been out there with that.
I mean, in the movie, you know, he does go and reach out to different ethnicities to talk about the plight of the poor, because that is a plight. Do you think he might have gone to some meeting somewhere to talk to these people before this even happened, just to talk about the unification at the level of, you know, economics?
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe so, just because of the legacy of who he was. But, you know, some people have an agenda that's just completely different from what Chairman Fred's agenda was. So I'm not sure. That's a really great question, though.
Now, I heard that you create vision boards. Are you still doing that? And how often do you do them?
Yes, for sure. So vision boards are a huge part of my life. I feel like if you're not able to see something in your head, if you're not able to manifest it with your words, you know, then it just won't come to you as quickly as you may want it. So with me in my life, I've been able to see just the outcome from creating vision boards and really speaking those things which I want in my life. And I've been able to see them happen in my life. There's a really true thing about using our words and our thoughts as they were intended to be used for our, you know, for our good. So I would just advise anybody out there, you know, if you have certain things you want in your life, you have to see it. Wake up and see it every day and say it. That means your mind starts believing it, your body starts believing it, and the universe around you gets in line with what you're saying and believing. And so I just created one at the top of the year in January. No, sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was going to say, if Jake Winter was here, you know, now, do you think, what would be on his vision board? What objects and things and places?
Great question. I believe that a strong Black family, a strong Black free family will be on the vision board. I believe that certain things as far as free health care, certain things as far as free education for the kids, free breakfast for the kids. You know, I believe everything that they were fighting for would be on every one of those vision boards. And essentially they did have vision boards because they had certain things that they wanted. They had certain things that they demanded. So that is a vision board in my, you know, in my eye. So that they was already ahead of the curve, you know.
Yeah, I mean, right now people are fighting for free education, like free college education. A lot of countries already have very low cost or free college education. I mean, you still have to take an exam. Do you think that can happen
in
the U.S.? I mean, do you think that can happen here, or is it just such a too capitalist society for that to even occur?
Well, you know, I have hope, and I'm one of having hope. So I think it can happen. I think we have a ways to go with getting the right people in the positions to make that happen. But I definitely believe in that. I definitely believe in this country being the best country in the world. You know, the world being the best place in the world. Everybody, you know, you'll always have like, you know, one side against the other, but as far as the name scoping for the care of the people, I definitely believe we get better.
Did you get a chance to speak any Black Panthers that are present today that are still alive? Were you able to go to, I mean, some may still even be in prison. Did you get a chance to speak to any of them?
You know what? Before filming, I was blessed enough to speak to Mama Akua, and she is, you know, Chairman Fred Hampton's junior mom, you know, so that was a blessing just having her there, hearing all those stories and just the real life tangible things that she was saying, and you can just hear the raw and the grittiness and everything that they talk about. So that was a blessing. Other than that, we didn't really have any other Panthers on set, but after the fact that the movie came out, you know, we did a couple of interviews as us as a cast, and we actually got to meet virtually some of the, you know, people that used to be Panthers, so that was really great hearing those stories and connecting with them.
Now, I was told about the Impact campaign. You launched a site called Live for the People, WWW Live for the People. Can you talk to us about that a little bit? Are you familiar with that?
What is it? One more time. You said it's an impact campaign?
Live for the People. Yeah, you're not this was sent to me. It was partnering with grassroots activists and organizations, Hampton Jr., Mother Akua. They have a website.
Oh,
I'll just let the audience know about
something.
It.
That's super cool, though. That must be something that they're doing, which is amazing because, honestly, I look at Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. and I look at Mama Kua, and I say they are still as persistent, you know, as the fight needs to be. Every single day they have their boots on the ground. And so I'm not even surprised. I didn't know about what you're talking about, but now I'm going to go look it up. I'm not even surprised. That's amazing.
That's okay. Now, wait, let me ask you this, though. You know, what would you tell, like, your kids and things? Because you don't want them to be afraid of just walking out in the street. It can be very tiring for some, you know, people just walking out in the street. I don't think people realize the stress. It's even been proven that high blood pressure has impacted African Americans differently because of racism. What would
yeah.
you tell children in dealing with, you know, racism in society today? How can they handle that?
Great question. First, I would tell children to do their research and understand what this country was built on, because to know where you're going, you got to know where you come from. I would say do your research. I will also say understand that it is what it is for now, but that you can change it. You have the power to change it, and that the generation that's coming up behind us, they have the most power. So it's like, do your research, understand what you want to change, and be adamant about changing it. And also understand that you are never too young. If we look at Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., he was 21 years old. Jake Winters was 19 years old. You know, these were essentially kids being chased by the biggest government agency because they were fighting for truth. So never be afraid to fight for what you fight for, and also realize that you can make the change that you want to see.
Do you think we should have reparations? And if so, what would they look like?
I definitely think we should have reparations. I think we should just have a fair shot. I think beyond the reparations, we should have a fair shot. I think, you know, when we look at just a certain systematic racism that's set up, you know, we can see within the job communities, we can see with everything else, we get the lower end of the stick. So I think one way of starting with that is, like I'm saying, the systematic system. We did it systematically. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. What are you doing next? What can we see you in next?
Well, next I am taking my dog on a walk in about 20 minutes. So, next I'm working on a couple things right now. I go back to shoot Euphoria here shortly, which would be great. I'm also working on another project with Charles King and Macro, which is going to be great as well. Also doing a lot of music and also writing a lot as well. I'm really wanting to do this film or a TV series about this hero named Garrett Morgan, and he is the man that created the stoplight and also the gas mask. And his story is just amazing. So I'm just, you know, staying in the creative space and, you know, just having fun with it, honestly.
Wow, I would really like to see that movie. Do you think you're going to write music for it as well?
Yeah, that'd be it. Come on, I'm trying to do everything for it. My plan for my career is to simultaneously be able to put out number one songs and also put out number one film and television projects at the same time for however many years I want to. So that'll definitely be a thing, yes.
Who would you want to play act with that you haven't acted with so far? Who's out there that you want to, maybe the top three?
Top three, only because who he is. I'm going to have to say Will Smith as GOAT status. I would say Edward Norton. And I would say, I got to pick a lady. I would say Angelina Jolie just because.
What happened to Angela Bassett or Regina King?
Yeah,
or,
Angela Bassett too.
Now.
Classic. You're right.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much. I know you have so many things to do. Walk the dog, other interviews. Algie, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. You told me I only had 20 minutes with you. But I appreciate what you're doing, and I wish you much success. And I can't wait to, for the new season of Euphoria to come out.
Thank you so much, Joy. I appreciate talking to you. Appreciate your time.
All right. You have a good weekend. I'll talk to you later.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody. I'm just getting off the phone with actor Al G. Smith. If you missed the beginning, don't worry. This will be archived, and you'll be able to listen to it. Give it about 15 minutes. It'll be archived, and then you can listen to the whole interview. He is in the movie Judas and the Black Messiah, and also he's in the upcoming season of Euphoria. I mean, his character, Chris McKay, went through a lot of stuff. I was going to say, you know what, S-H-I-T, in the other season. So I can't wait to see what he's going to go through this coming season of Euphoria. But he looks like he is just a triple threat, really. Dancing, acting, singing. Now he's talking about film, writing a film. So keep an eye on Al G. Smith. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. And tomorrow I'll be doing two shows, 11 and 11:30, so you can check those out. I'll be singing, speaking with singer Bai Hayes and also Ugandan author Jennifer Makumbi tomorrow. So check them out. All right. I'll talk to you later.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.